Beautiful name. Amen. What a beautiful song and what a beautiful church. Amen. I just want to say thank you to everyone who's done so much to beautify our church, but most especially to my wife who's constantly shopping, constantly buying, constantly looking for deals, okay? For great deals and just for all she does to this triumphal entry coming into the church, amen? Is that amazing or what, right? I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say this anyways. Those banners, these Palm Sunday banners, she found them for $1 a piece on clearance sale. Amen? Right? They're like $40 banners. You get them for $1 a piece. Like, wow, right? Yeah, but she's tirelessly working all the time for the church, and thank everyone else too, everybody that does so much around here. God bless you, and grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Welcome. Happy Palm Sunday. Amen. Make sure everyone's got their palms because we're going to be participating in a little while. Okay, at the end of the sermon there, we're going to all make sure everybody's got their palms and these beautiful. Once again, my wife. Bulletins. Make sure you get one of those too. Amen. Hosanna, right? Hosanna in the highest, right? Amen. All right, let us pray. Father God, we thank you on this wonderful, beautiful day you have given us, Father God. We thank you for your triumphant entry. We thank you for your triumphant entry into our lives. And we thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. We praise you. We love you, Father God. We thank you for our church and for the family of Christ that we have here and the love that we feel here each and every week, Father God. We can never say thank you enough, Lord. And on this day, we just want to ask that you open the hearts and the minds of everyone here, Father God, that you bring healing and peace to our lives and that you bless this day in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. 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 All right. So my sermon title today is On a Donkey's Colt. Amen? And we're going to talk about that. We're going to explain what that means, a donkey's colt. Some may not even know what a colt is, but a donkey's colt. Amen? So, it was Palm Sunday. It was Palm Sunday, and because of a sore throat, five-year-old Johnny stayed home from church with his mother. Amen? And when the rest of his family returned home from Palm Sunday service, they were carrying palm branches. Amen? They were carrying palm branches. So the boy asked them what they were for, and they told him that the people held the palm branches over Jesus' head as he walked by. Amen? And so the little boy said, wouldn't you know it, the one Sunday I don't go to church and he shows up. Amen? So, as we get into today's text, so make sure you go to church because you never know, okay? So, as we get into today's text, we start to enter the last week, Holy Week, amen? This is Holy Week. This is the Super Bowl of Christianity, amen? Or we're leading up to the Super Bowl. This is like the Pro Bowl right here, okay? Amen? So, and one-third of the New Testament is actually dedicated to Holy Week, amen? One-third of the New Testament. And it is Palm Sunday as we read this and study this chapter. We begin to see so many Old Testament prophecies fulfilled. So many Old Testament prophecies fulfilled. Matthew's actually the one gospel writer who refers to Old Testament prophecies more than any of the others. Amen? So Matthew, and it's my favorite book too, by the way. So here we go in our first verses. Verse 1 says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, on the Mount of Olives, okay? Now, the Mount of Olives is still there today. Amen? But those trees that are there today, they're not the original trees. Okay? Thanks to the Muslims, but I'll just leave it at that. Okay? They're not the original trees. All the original trees were tore down along with many other things in the area. But they've rebuilt the trees. Amen? They've regrown the trees. So, they came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus sent two disciples. Okay? It just says He sent two disciples. But we know probably from the book of Luke that it was probably Peter and John that He sent. Amen? So He sends Peter and John. So the disciples and Jesus, they arrive at Bethphage, right? Now, only here in the Gospels do we hear about this city. This is the only time we hear about this city. But this place is historically significant, okay? Bethphage is very historically significant. This place, even in Jesus' past, was remarkable for a reason. And I'm about to give that to you here in a minute. But also in the future, it's going to be remarkable for a reason. Amen? So this is the place where the glory of the Lord departed in Ezekiel. And a lot of us remember that from our Bible study when we went through the book of Ezekiel. This is the same place, the Bethphage area and Bethany area, is the same place where the Lord had departed. Amen? I'm going to go ahead and read that. That's Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. And it says, "Then the cherubim with the wheels beside them spread their wings, and the glory of the God of Israel was above them. The glory of the Lord went up from within the city and stopped above the mountain east of it." And that mountain east of it, that's where Bethphage is at. Amen? And that's where the glory of the Lord was going to depart. Amen? And so this is the exact area. The glory of the Lord was a visible symbol, okay, of God's presence among His people. That's the representation of the glory of the Lord. Amen? So, that's the same area where the glory of the Lord left. Is the same area, the Palm Sunday, that Jesus comes in for His triumphal entry. Amen? It's the same place. It's a retrace. It's backwards, right? Because the glory of the Lord is coming back. Amen? So He's coming back in reverse, okay? Amazing, right? So, the glory of the Lord had left this place in Ezekiel, and it has come back now on Palm Sunday. The glory of the Lord has come back. And when Jesus comes back again in all His glory, He will return to the same place again. Amen? He will return to this same place. Amazing, right? Praise God. Amen. So verse 2 says, saying to them, Jesus is saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you," to the disciples, "and at once you will find a donkey tied there. You will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her." Now, why a donkey? Why would they choose a donkey, right? Huh? It's going to come in peace, right? The donkey represents peace. Amen? So it would seem fitting for our culture today, and maybe those in Jerusalem at the time who were expecting the Messiah, to come on a white horse, right? Yielding a sword, ready to do battle, right? That's what we would think, right? That's what they were thinking. So why a donkey? In our society today, and especially in the Mexican culture, a donkey is considered stubborn and a lower class animal. Amen? We kind of make fun of people saying they're a donkey or a burro, right? The Mexicans like saying, "Oh, está burro," right? Meaning he's stubborn or he doesn't listen, right? Okay? So why the lower class animal? But a donkey in the ancient Near East before this time was a royal mount. Amen? A donkey was a royal mount, meaning it was a royal thing to ride in on a donkey for a king, okay? So a king would have had his own donkey and he would ride it. It was a symbol of royalty, okay, in a time of peace. But it was also a time of peace. So a king would ride a donkey in a time of peace. So what better animal to ride for the Prince of Peace, amen, than a donkey? And that's the significance. So And then why the colt? Why does it say a colt of a donkey? Right? A colt. It's because no one had ridden the colt. Amen? These donkeys, back in that time when it was the king's colt, nobody, in order for it to be the king's donkey, no one could have ever ridden it before. He had to be the first and only person to ride that donkey. Amen? So that's why they say the colt. And then the mother, the reason the mother was there was to reassure the colt that everything's okay. Right? So that's why they brought both. That's why they had brought both. Even though I'm sure Jesus could have told the colt everything's going to be okay, right? Jesus could have spoken to the colt. Amen? But so they bring the mother along just to console the colt. Amen? And then in verse 3 says, if anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, the donkeys, and He will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. So this is prophecy. Amen? Here in verse 4, Jesus deliberately worked to fulfill prophecy. He worked to fulfill prophecy, especially the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks of seven, of which many feel that Jesus fulfilled 69 of those weeks to the exact day of Jesus' triumphant entry. Amen? So this is the exact day that was prophesied. Amen? And then verse 5 says, say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Poole wrote about this. He said, hath need of them donkeys, talking about donkeys, hath need of them, not for any weariness, meaning the Lord wasn't tired, amen? He didn't need the donkey because He was tired. He who has traveled on foot from Galilee to Bethany could have gone the other 2 miles, but that He might enter into Jerusalem as prophesied of Him in Zechariah 9:9. That's why He rode the donkeys, not because He was tired, not because He was fulfilling, it was because He was fulfilling prophecy. Amen? And here's Zechariah 9:9. This is the prophecy that He was fulfilling. It says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion, meaning Jerusalem. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now this Old Testament book of Zechariah was written in the 6th century B.C. Amen? 500 years before this would happen. Zechariah, the prophet, had written this. Amen? So, and the name Zechariah means Yahweh remembers. Is that amazing? When I read that, I'm like, Yahweh is remembering. Amen? So yeah, this isn't a storybook. Amen? This is the real deal here. Yahweh remembers. So, this would also fulfill the prophetic words of Isaiah 62:11, okay? Where it said, say to daughter Zion, see your Savior comes. See your Savior comes. So Jesus is finally and plainly revealing His Messiahship. Amen? He's finally revealing Himself. In the past, He'd been telling people, right? Don't tell anyone about this miracle. Go and don't tell anyone about this, right? Or He said, oh, my time hasn't come yet. Amen? He told His own mother, my time hasn't come yet, right? Amen? So, He had been trying to keep it on the down low, okay? In a slang sense. He had been trying to keep it on the down low, but of course, this was all part of God's plan and all part of God's timing. Amen? All part of God's timing. But now He's ready to reveal His Messiahship. And it seems that the people are ready to receive it as well, right? They're ready to receive it. Amen? So verse 5 says, say to daughter Zion, which means Jerusalem, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, this young and old reference between a donkey and a colt, right? This is very important as well because in the Old Testament, the Jews saw two ages. Amen? They saw two ages. They saw the evil age that was dominated by sin that they were living in. Amen. And they saw the age to come, which would be the coming of the Messiah. Those were the two ages that they saw. And so remember, the Jews only expected one coming of the Messiah. Amen? And Jesus was not it for them. Jesus was not it for them. The Jews say that He was a good man. Jesus was a good man. Amen? That he was a historical figure. Amen? But they didn't see Him as a prophet, or let alone a Messiah. Okay? That's how they seen Him. But we know that the Messiah is to come twice. He's already came once. Amen? And He came once not to judge the world, but to save the world. Not to judge the world, but to save the world. And He is coming again as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Right? Amen? Riding on a white horse. He is going to come that way. This time in a military way with a sword, the way the Old Testament pictured Him. And the way the Jews expected Him. Amen? He is going to come that way. But this first time He came as the humble high priest. A humble high priest in a time of peace, not to condemn, but to save. Jesus saves. Verse 6 said that the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. Shocking, right? I mean, the disciples didn't always do what Jesus told them to do, right? Not a lot of times they didn't, amen? But this time they did. This time they obeyed. They did exactly what Jesus told them. In spite of their uncertainty about what was going to happen, they obeyed Jesus. Amen? So Jesus tells them, He says, go over and get these donkeys and bring them to Me and it will be okay. Don't worry. It'll be okay. But what if He's wrong? They're probably thinking, what if He's wrong? What if it's not okay? What if they get arrested for stealing a burro, right? A donkey. Amen? What if they get arrested? So sometimes this is the same thing that happens in our lives. Amen? We feel like God is asking us to do something, and we're sensing that God is speaking to us. We're sensing that God is speaking to us, and that we're sensing that God is leading us somewhere, or that He's asking us to say something or do something for someone else. Amen? And we're wondering whether or not it's true. Whether or not this is really God speaking to us. Is this really God speaking to me? Is this what He wants me to do? So just like the disciples, sometimes we have many fears and uncertainties. But this time, they're trusting Jesus and they're going to do as He says. They are trusting Him. And they know that Jesus' time has come and that He will make a way. Just as He will make a way for each and every one of us. When we're in times of uncertainty, the Lord will make a way. Amen? And it's usually not going to be on our timetable, right? Not on our schedule. It's going to be on the Lord's schedule. Amen? And we just have to have patience and we have to trust in the Lord. Trust in Jesus, right? Because He is the way, the truth, and the life, right? Trust in Jesus Christ. Bless you. There was a young pastor in another church, told about an experience that he had with a family who tended to be one of those, what do my wife call them? CEOs. CEO family. A Christmas and Easter only services, right? CEO. I never heard that. Just told me, but anyway. So there was a young woman in the family, in the CEO family, okay, that became critically ill. She became critically ill. And the prognosis was very bad. So, in fact, the doctors expected that she might die within a few weeks. Amen? So, the woman asked the pastor, she said, if Jesus healed in the Bible, he had gone to visit her. I think we got a picture. Yeah, there he is. She said, if Jesus healed in the Bible, why doesn't He heal me? The pastor told her that God certainly could heal her and he prayed with her and the family. Amen. Then the family began to beg and bargain. They said if only God would heal her, they would completely recommit themselves to him and they would be in church every Sunday for the rest of their lives. If only he would heal the woman. Amen. So, to the amazement of the doctors and the family and the pastor, God healed the woman. Amen? He healed her. And she came out on the other side of the sickness and was released from the hospital. And sure enough, the next Sunday, the entire extended family, there they are, filled up a row at the church. Amen? The entire family filled up a row at the church. And the young woman gave her testimony, and everyone was praising God for His mercy in her life. Amen? And the next week, the family was there again, praising God and thanking God. But after about a month, only the young woman and her husband were left. All the rest of the family had fallen off. Amen? So they were the only ones left. And before long, their attendance became sporadic as well, until they dropped back to being CEOs again. Right? They were CEOs once again. And so the point is that for a sign seeker, even an amazing personal miracle is not enough to produce lasting faith in your life. If you're just looking for signs, a miracle is not going to be enough to produce lasting faith. Amen? So real faith means trusting Jesus for who He is, not for what He can do for us. It's trusting Him for who He is. And just as the disciples, you know, this is what we must do. We must trust Jesus for who He is and not for what He can do for us. For who He is, our Creator and our Father and our Savior. His time has come for all of us. His time has come for all of us. Verses 7 and 8. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. So all this was done to honor Jesus as a great, triumphant person coming into Jerusalem in the season of Passover. Amen? That's why they laid all this stuff out. And of course, in today's text, it doesn't say palm branches. Amen? But it says tree branches. But that was the reason for it. It was to honor Jesus. Amen? To honor Him. Wiseman says of the spreading of the garments for Jehu in 2 Kings 9:13, it said the act of spreading out the garment was one of recognition, loyalty, and promise of support. Because he had just been anointed as king. Amen? And they were showing the loyalty and the promise of support for him. And so remember, there may have been as many, if not more than 2 million, I talked about this last year, 2 million Jews in the town at this time because of Passover. Amen? There was about 2 million people in town, and many had heard about or had been waiting to meet Jesus, who was to be their king and their Messiah. Amen? Could you imagine how many people, if Jesus was coming to town, how many people, right? Amen? So they were all either curious or anxious to meet their king, meet their Messiah. Clark wrote of this, said, carrying palm and other branches was emblematic or represented victory and success. So not only were they honoring him by laying stuff down, but they were honoring him, they were honoring the victory and the success that they felt at this triumphant entry. Amen? An example of that is in 1 Maccabees 13:51, which used to be in the Old Testament. On the 23rd day of the second month in the year 171 BC, the Jews entered the citadel, the fortified area, with shouts of jubilation, waving palm branches, the music of harps and cymbals and lyres, and the singing of hymns and canticles, because of a great enemy of Israel had been destroyed. And that was talking about when they conquered the Seleucid Empire and Antiochus the Fourth. Amen? And how do they celebrate that today? How do the Jews celebrate that today? With Hanukkah. Amen? And that's the first time that they were using the palm branches. Amen? To signify the celebration. Amen? So, they're repeating this 171 years, or about 200 years later. So, they were celebrating a victory which was to come. This was to celebrate a victory which was to come, but not in the fashion that they expected. It wasn't going to be a victory in the fashion they expected. The victory to come would be over death and the devil, but it would be won at the cross, not in a battle. Amen? It would be won at the cross. And in one way, Spurgeon wrote that in one way, this crowd was glorious. It is a mark of Christ's presence when the church becomes enthusiastic. We sometimes hear complaints about revivals being too exciting. Perhaps the censure is deserved, but I would like to see a little of the fault. This age does not generally sin in the direction of being too excited concerning divine things. We have erred so long on the other side that perhaps a little excess in the direction of fervor might not be the worst of all calamities. Amen? At any rate, I would not fear to try it. So Spurgeon is saying, he's saying that we can never be too excited for the coming of the Lord. Basically, right? There could never be a concern of excessive celebration in the end zone of life. Amen? When it comes to our Lord, right? Well, hold on, Pastor. You got to get out in the aisle and do that if you're going to dance. We can never have too much excessive celebration for the Lord. Amen? And that's what they're doing. So remember, but remember they were excited to see Lazarus, right? They were excited to see Lazarus, whom from John, we know that Jesus had just raised from the dead. So they're excited to see Lazarus and Jesus. And so there were thousands upon thousands of people that had shown up. And the crowd was so packed and so crowded that the Pharisees had said, also in John, they said, look, the whole world has gone after him. Next slide. There they are looking on, right? Worried, saying, look, the whole world has gone after him. But this wasn't a compliment, okay? This was not a compliment. They were thinking, all the work we did to try to get these people to reject Jesus and not love him is not working. Amen? They still love him. What's going on, right? Verse 9. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And we sang that song, Hosanna. Amen. Everyone knows the song, Hosanna. One of my favorite songs to play, by the way. But this word, Hosanna, what does it mean? Come save us. Save us now, right? So they're saying, Lord, save us now. That's the meaning of Hosanna. Amen? Lord, save us now. This is the crowd's way of saying to everyone that was there to join all the heavenly realms in giving praise to the Messiah. Even the Pharisees. Amen? Even the Pharisees. They're calling everyone. They're loving all people to Christ. Amen? They're calling everyone to give praise to the Lord. And in this account in Mark 11:10, New King James Version, it said, blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. So it seems people had anticipated that Jesus is the King. Amen? And that He had finally come to establish His kingdom on earth. He had finally come. And that Christ the Messiah is going to sit on David's throne, right? He's going to sit on David's throne and He's going to redeem them and He's going to deliver them from the Romans, right? That's what they expected. But they weren't thinking of being redeemed from their sins. They wanted to be redeemed from their political and cultural oppression. Amen? They weren't thinking about being redeemed for their sins. So Jesus is finally allowing the people to publicly proclaim Him as King. This was the day that was prophesied to the day in Daniel chapter 9. Amen? I mean, praise God. Wow, right? To the day, to the exact day. Hosanna in the highest. Everything that happened in history up to this point, all the battles, all the victories, all the suffering, all the waiting, had led to this day. Everything had led to this day. So could it be far-fetched to think that God has orchestrated everything in our lives to lead us to this day? Amen? He orchestrates everything in our lives. And He does that so that we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what's going to bring us joy. That's what's going to bring us peace. That relationship. Would it be too much to believe that God has a glorious plan for our lives? Amen? A glorious plan. And they say it well in Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That says it all right there. No matter what we're going through, we must trust in the Lord. He has a plan for each and every one of us. I was talking to a brother yesterday, you know, some of us have a rougher road on that plan, amen? But, you know, I've done that example with the rope, right, of eternity, amen? And you run a 100-foot rope out, you put a piece of tape on it that big, and that piece of tape represents all the time, history of the earth up to this point, amen? And just think of the sliver of that tape that represents our lives, right? That's the, even if we're suffering, that's the little bit minuscule millisecond of time that we're on earth. Amen? But eternity is that rope. That's eternity. Remember in the book of Acts when Paul says that God has placed everyone everywhere, not so they can run from Him, but it's so they may know Him and run to Him. Amen? God has orchestrated everything. And, you know, it's not always going to be easy. And it's never going to be on our time. It's always going to be on His time. So many are thinking that this triumphant entry is going to result in the new King's coronation. Many of these people are thinking that they're getting ready to for the coronation of the new King. Amen? But Jesus knows His mission. Jesus knows that the only crown He's going to wear is a crown of thorns. Amen? It's not going to be a king's crown. It is going to be a king's crown, but not like they expected. It's going to be a crown of thorns. He knows that the only earthly throne that He's going to be sit on is the wooden cross. The wooden cross on Golgotha Hill. Amen? Got a good picture of that? Amen. He had come that we may know Him, and He will die and rise again that we may be with Him forever. Thanks be to God. They wanted Jesus to rule in their land, but did they want Jesus to rule in their heart? Right? They didn't. They wanted Him to rule in their land, but they wanted Him on their terms. Do we want Jesus to rule in our heart? That's the question today. Amen? Do we want Jesus to rule in our heart? I know I do. Amen? Amen. as we enter this Holy Week leading up to the Super Bowl of Christianity, amen, Resurrection Day, let us ask ourselves, does Jesus rule our hearts? Does Jesus rule our hearts? Do we want Jesus to rule our hearts? Amen? Do we want Jesus to rule our hearts? Do we need Jesus to rule our hearts? Most certainly do. Amen? I think we all realize that. And then in verse 10, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this? Who is this?" So, I guess not everyone really knew who He was. Amen? Not everyone knew who He was. But do you know who He is? Do you really know who Jesus is in your life? Do you have a relationship with the Savior? I guess most of the people in this crowd did not, because just 5 days later, they would trade in their shouts of Hosanna for shouts of away with Him. Crucify Him, right? Crucify Him. Then in verse 11, the crowds answered. They said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth in Galilee." This continues from the earlier identification of Jesus with Nazareth in Matthew 2:23. And it would have sounded strange to many, especially to the religious establishment of the time. It would have sounded strange that the prophet would come from an obscure, unnoted city of Nazareth, amen, in Galilee, right? And but remember in John 1:46, also when Nathanael asked the question, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Right? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, sometimes God surprises us, amen. The people had questions. They had questions about His origin, questions about His purpose, and questions about His power. But the good news is that they had questions. They wanted to know about Christ. Amen? They were curious. They wanted to know about Christ. And as a church, that's what we want. We don't only want people to ask about Christ, but we want them to know about Christ. Amen? That's why we're here, to bring people to Christ, to love all people to Christ. Spurgeon wrote that when our Lord grants revivals to His church, the congregations and the multitude outside begin to ask, wherefore this stir? What is meant of all this? Who is this Christ and what is His salvation? The spirit of inquiry is eminently desirable. It is just now a matter to be sought for by importunate prayer, which means downhearted or discouraged prayer. Amen? There was a revival in the church then, and there's a revival in the church now. And its purpose is to draw more people to Christ. Whether it's in the neighborhood, in the city, in the state, in the country, in the world, it's all about drawing more people to Christ. The world is a mess right now, and we need Jesus more than ever. We need Jesus more than ever. So let us continue to support our churches, support our brothers and sisters in Christ, all over the world. Amen? Invite everyone to church so that we may love all people to Christ, especially on this Holy Week. Amen? Invite everyone to Easter. Invite everyone to Good Friday. Amen? Now let's raise those palm branches, like I said. All right? Let's raise those palm branches. And let's shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest," three times. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Amen. Happy Palm Sunday, everybody. God bless you and have a beautiful weekend. Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right.